What a beautiful thing to see.
Families.
Ooh. What a beautiful thing it is to see families praising the Lord together. And so thank you, Andrea, Gracie, and Grandma, too. That was wonderful. Before we get in this morning's message, maybe we can get the screen on down here as well, please. Maybe my PowerPoint's not working. But may I have some deacons, please, while that comes on the screen? It could be that many of our deacons are preoccupied right now. What you are about to receive, let me take one of those, please. Wonderful. Is something in regards to our upcoming evangelistic meetings. They start when? April 5th. And some of you are wondering who the evangelist is because you've never met him. Well, I would argue that you do know the evangelist. Why? Because you see the evangelist in the mirror every day. Who's the evangelist? You're the evangelist, and so am I. Praise the Lord. And so you're receiving a sheet that looks like this. It says Revelation of Hope, Revelation of Love, rather. And we are looking for evangelists to help out in an assortment of different areas. And so you can put your name there and check off the different area that you would like to be a helper in. And if you don't know what job description they do, you turn on over the other side and it tells you exactly what they do. So on your way out today, make sure you turn this in because we are all evangelists here. But also some of you did not receive the prayer list that was distributed last week. And this prayer list, you're supposed to gather two of them. Why two lists? It has the same names on both lists, but one is for you and one is for the church. Because this past prayer meeting, our church started praying for close to 300 people. Not just people out in the blue, but people that you know and that I know that we want to be here during these evangelistic meetings. And so please make sure you fill these out before you leave church today. You can leave them at the edge of the pew. One last thing, two things. Today at 1:30, we're meeting here after potluck to be able to go into our neighborhoods, our local neighborhoods, where you live, where I live, so we can pray for our neighbors as God does something in their lives. And maybe, just maybe, God does something in our lives too as we plead to the Lord on their behalf. And so that's at 1:30 today. What was mentioned early during our announcement time is our Bible work initiative, in which we are wanting to raise how much? $20,000. That would look something like this. We are not at the $20,000 mark, but rather we're at $11,640. That would look something like this right there. That is just about close to 60% that we've been able to raise thus far. And so make that a matter of prayer. If you're wondering how you are to give that offering, you put on the tithe envelope, Bible worker, and whatever the Lord moves on your heart to give in regards to that. I think we can finally get into the word of the Lord now. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Father above, thank you because you have brought us here from many different places to be with you, to be with you and to see what you would do in our lives, because you are the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. And so thank you Because as you've called us here, you will do something new, something that we're needing this very day. Send us your Spirit and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Coming, going, and staying. You know, when I started preaching this series, I did not know that I'd be spending 10 sermons on Abraham alone. Because Abraham has quite the journey. He starts out by being called by God to leave home and follow God. The next thing we see in his life is that there's a famine. He goes down to Egypt and he calls his wife, his sister, and that makes a mess. And then the next thing we see is that he separates from Lot. There's too much of us in one given area. You go this way, I go that way. Next we see that Lot is saved by Abraham, and Abraham meets Melchizedek. Next we see that Abraham makes a covenant with God. He enters into a very close relationship with God. Next we see how Hagar is supposedly fulfilling the role of being the mother of the promised child, but that in reality was not the way it's supposed to be. Next we see in Abraham's journey that God tells him he needs to be circumcised and converted. Next we see that he pleads for Sodom and Gomorrah before the judgments of God came down. And last but not least, he goes to Gerar. He tells Abimelech that, well, he tells his wife that she should say that he's still her sister. Abimelech takes her as his wife, and that makes another mess. And so here we find Abraham and Sarah. Just the two of them, they can make it, they thought, if they tried. Just the two of them. And they came to realize they needed something more than just them two. They needed God. God made promises to them, but yet it was still just the two of them. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21, where we'll spend the focus of our time this morning. Coming week, my wife and I will head out to go do a wedding out in Sydney, Australia, and so we covet your prayers as we'll be gone, but we have more than able and capable leadership out to elders and then on down who are able to assist. Genesis 21 verse 1, and we'll be back Monday, so don't worry. I know you were thinking that. Verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. How exciting. God, the Lord, he visits Sarah. I mean, just as the Lord visited Sarah, guess what? The Lord visits you. The Lord visits me. And, I mean, I love getting visited by different people, but to be visited by God? Wow. And the Lord not only shows up, but the Lord, he acts. What is it that the Lord does? Well, he does what he said he would do. That's what he does. Is God not faithful to his word? He sure is. But my question is, what has God said that he'd do for you? What promises has God said he will do for you? And what has God said that he will do for the church? You want to know what God said that he would do for the church? Oh, it looks something like this. Babies. That's what the Lord said that he would do. You see, he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Abraham shows up on the scene. He tells Abraham and Sarah, be fruitful and multiply. And before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told the disciples in similar words, be fruitful and multiply. This is still the promise that God has given to his church this very day. Amen? Because if that were not true, we might as well just cancel evangelistic meetings. There's no purpose. Let's continue. Genesis 21, verse 2, the Bible says, "For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him." You see, Sarah not only gets pregnant, but she bears a son in her golden years. What do you call this, church family? It's a miracle. And that's all fine and dandy, Pastor, because that's like Bible times. Maybe God just does miracles back then. You know, as we're planning these evangelistic meetings, God is bringing things together that, humanly speaking, it seems impossible. But God is good, and he's doing miracles even in 2019. You see, God, he not only performs a miracle, but is he done with miracles? Are you needing a miracle today? You've come to the right place. God will do what he said he would do. God fulfills his word at the time he said he would. Is God fulfilling his word now? Okay. Well, what has God said that he would be doing now? I mean, some of us think that maybe God is up in heaven just waiting what stanza of the next song that the angels are playing to him. Is that what God's doing up in heaven? What is it that God is doing up in heaven? Well, look at this. It is those who by faith. Have we heard about somebody who's known as the father of faith? Okay, that's right. That's Abraham. It is those who by faith follow Jesus in the great work of the atonement who receive the benefits of his mediation in their behalf, while those who reject the light which brings to view this work of ministration are not benefited thereby. The Jews who rejected the light given at Christ's first advent and refused to believe on him as the Savior of the world could not receive pardon through him. When Jesus at his ascension entered by his own blood into the heavenly sanctuary to shed upon his disciples the blessings of his mediation, the Jews were left in total darkness to continue their useless sacrifices and offerings. The ministration of types and shadows had ceased. That door by which men had formerly found access to God was no longer open. The Jews had refused to seek him in the only way whereby he could be found, through the ministration in the sanctuary in heaven. Therefore, they found no communion with God. To them, the door was shut. They had no knowledge of Christ as the true sacrifice and the only mediator before God. Hence, they could not receive the benefits of his mediation. And the last part, the condition of the unbelieving Jews illustrates what? The condition of the careless and unbelieving among professed Christians who are willingly ignorant of the work of our merciful high priest. In the typical service, when the high priest entered the most holy place, all Israel were required to gather about the sanctuary in the most solemn manner, humble their souls before God, that they might receive the pardon of their sins and not be cut off from the congregation. How much more essential in this antitypical day of atonement that we understand the work of our high priest and know what duties are required of us. You see, Jesus is in the most holy place, pleading his blood for you and for me. You see, his blood should bring about change in my life. You see, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to then what? Cleanse us. Let's not get rid of this stuff completely. You see, it's very hard for God to pardon me of my sin if I'm still in the sin. But when I behold what he's done for me and I give my sin to him, then he's able to do a work in my life. Because without him, the Bible says we can do what? Nothing. Nada. Verse 3. Isaac come along. And Abraham called the name of his son, which was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. Why would Abraham give him a name like that? I'll tell you why. Because God told him to give the baby that name. That's why. In fact, you see that chapters earlier in Genesis. It doesn't happen in this chapter. And God not only told Abraham to name Isaac, this baby that was just born, God even told Abraham to name Ishmael, Ishmael. What does Isaac mean? He laughs. He laughs. You see, God laughs when we doubt what he can do. I mean, could you imagine Sarah not only pregnant and then pushing that stroller? That must have been an interesting sight. Verse 4, the Bible says, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. You see, God is into the details. I was talking with somebody earlier about how they were praying. They were on some trip heading out, and they're low on gas in the middle of nowhere, and they prayed to God for to find a gas station. And the Lord provided, and they pulled into a closed gas station. We got to pray for an open gas station. Small but important detail. And the Lord provided even then. Amen? We think God doesn't care about the minute details of our lives. Every little thing about us. I mean, doesn't the Bible say that even the hairs of our head are counted? He's into the little details. And what details? Well, God told Abraham this detail. You call him Isaac. And not just that, but you do something on the 8th day. Not the 9th day, not the 7th day, but on the 8th day you have this boy circumcised. You see, how can we expect God to grant his blessing when we're not faithful to him as we should? If he said, I will do this, he also says, stay with me. He also says, walk with me. He also says, trust me, I'll get you through this. Even if it seems like longer than Abraham and Sarah waited for their child. Verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old, church family, when his son Isaac was born unto him, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will do what? Laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. How old was he? He was 100 years old. And which means this could only have been a miracle. And God has a way of bringing laughter after sorrow. Have you been through some sorrow lately? He makes a way that for some reason we laugh. You see, this blessing wasn't just for Abraham and Sarah. This blessing was for all who would hear it. And guess what? This blessing, this miracle, is a miracle for you and for me too. Funny thing about this verse is that Sarah has no problem talking about Abraham's age, but she sure wasn't talking about her age. Praise the Lord. Sorrow. February 27th of this year, our precious children left. And I praise God because as we were preparing for that and the church family going through that with us as well, God has been hearing your prayers of strength and comfort that you have been praying, because it's amazing how God has been bringing that peace to our lives. But I'll tell you what, it's a little hard to be sad when you see a smiling baby. You can only laugh in some situations that are just not that easy. And you know, maybe your situation isn't so simple like that. Maybe the bitterness and sorrow that you're going through is a pill that's taking a little longer to swallow, and it hasn't gone down yet. But will God come through? I believe he will. Verse 8, the Bible says, "And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned." This is a very interesting verse, if you ask me, because the party is when? After he's weaned. I mean, if the baby's born, I'm calling everybody to come on over to have a party. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not when the party was. The party was after he was weaned. Why was that the time to celebrate? You see, the party happens when he's learned to eat solid food. Not the milk stuff. And to have a baby is awesome. It's a new chapter in our lives. But since you do have a baby, the baby gets baby food, milk. And the celebration happened when the baby can eat for themselves. What am I getting at? I mentioned earlier that God promised that he would bless the church with what? Babies. Okay. What are babies? Baptisms. And when, not if the Lord grants us babies, not if the Lord grants us baptism, but when he does, it is not enough to simply have the baptism and not teach them to eat for themselves. You see, the real party happens not just at the baptism, but when we have been involved in the nurturing of this new convert. You see, this is all about the coming. The coming of what? The coming of God's blessing, the coming of God's promises in what he said he would do. Genesis 21, verse 9. And Sarah saw something very interesting still around her neighborhood. The son of Hagar, what do you know? He's still around. The Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Very interesting. Sarah, she says, "My brother, you remember him?" Because she said, "He's my brother in Egypt. My brother who ended up marrying Hagar and having this child. My brother who lied to Abimelech." Interesting. You see, Sarah didn't have a problem with saying that Abraham was her brother. But she did have a problem with another son of promise being around. That she did have a problem with. In fact, she doesn't even call Ishmael by his name. the son of this bondwoman, that they need to go. And poor Abraham, who got himself into this mess, he's in a bind. What's the bind? The bind is this. He loves his wife, but he actually loves Ishmael too. What do you do? There's good news on the way. Verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it be not grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, here's the good news, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so scripture continues to say, and also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. You see, God wants to solve our problems. Even the problems that we got ourselves into, he wants to solve. Because sometimes we think, you know what? I got myself in this mess. There's no way that God is going to listen to me now. But guess what? He does. Praise the Lord. He gets us even out of the problems that we did not seek ourselves, but come our way anyway. God's solution was, listen to your wife. The truth is, church family, is that God is not short on blessings. In fact, he's full of blessings with your names on them. Verse 14 and on. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bowshot, and she said, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept, the Bible says. Moving day came, and guess what you do on moving day? You move, and she moved. Abraham says, here's a little bit of bread. Here's some water, give or take about 3 gallons or so. She puts it on her shoulders, and bye-bye. There's no, call me when you get there. No. Bye, and I probably won't be seeing you again. The water runs out, and she knows that death is at the door. It's so bad that she knows her son is going to die, and she turns and gives him her back. That way she doesn't see him die. In doing this was actually an act by Abraham trusting God. I mean, Abraham could have thought full well, if I kick her out, if I give her the boot, where is she going to go? She only has 3 gallons of water. How far is she going to be able to get with only that amount of water? I guess Abraham had to trust God. Did God come through for Abraham? Yes, he did. Did God come through for Hagar? Okay. Then why wouldn't God come through for you? I don't know what challenge you're facing today, but is God going to come through? That's a question we get to answer each and every day. Verse 17. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Hagar, there's good news because God shows up. He always does. And here's what gets me about this story. Whose prayer does God hear? God hears Ishmael's prayer. The prayer of the lad, the prayer of the son of that bondwoman. But who taught Ishmael how to pray? That must have been Daddy, Abraham. You see, little Grace, she learned how to sing from Mama. And Mama may have learned how to sing from her mama, Grandma. Learning about God, where? At home. That's where it happens. At home. And if there ever is a time to teach our family members how to pray, it's now. God asks her, "What's wrong, Hagar?" as if he didn't know. Does God know what's wrong in the situation that you're currently in? He knows it. Verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. And as he answers, he tells them the following. "Fear not. Get up and take the boy by the hand. I've come to learn something as of late. Dealing with babies. I've learned that the baby will only fall asleep in certain positions with certain things that you do. And for our wonderful little baby, for the baby to fall asleep requires her laying on the lap, one leg on, one leg off, just dangling. Binky in the mouth, but both hands have to be held. The baby will not sleep unless the hands are held. And you know, I wonder if it's when we finally hold on to God's hands, not one of them, but both of them, that we find the peace and the comfort and the courage to be able to fall asleep. I would be surprised if some of us are not sleeping these days, because there's just so much in our minds, so much worry, so much anxiety. If the baby can sleep, I have a hunch maybe we can sleep as we hold on to God's hands too. Verse 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad a drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. The miracle not only happened for Abraham and Sarah, but the miracle also happens for Hagar and Ishmael. Because God has miracles not just for some people. God has miracles for you and for me. Mom gives water to the lad and receives a blessing and gives a blessing. The boy grows and dwells in the wilderness and becomes an archer. And mom chooses a spouse from Egypt. Not a good idea. As they had to go, sometimes we too have to go in life. We have to let go of where we have been, what we've been wrestling with, what we've been trying to put together when it seems like it's not coming together. We have to let go and trust him anyway. Story continues. Verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, "God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned." And Abraham said, "I will swear." So who's this guy? Abimelech. Remember him? Oh, that's right. That's the guy who almost got killed and all the wounds in Gerard closed because Sarah was his wife, but yet she's Abraham's wife, and they kind of lied about that. So it's this Abimelech who's saying, Abraham, we need to make a deal. We need to make a pact. Wow. You see, even the righteous in his own ignorance who was lied by him now tells Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. Why would Abimelech say these words to Abraham? Well, because Abraham was with God in all that he did. Let's continue. Can people say that it is clearly evident that God is with us? Think about that. Our co-workers, our neighbors, can they say, God must definitely be with you. God is blessing you. We need to hang out more. This past week, well, you know, with the storms that came a couple weeks ago, we got to spend a little bit more time with our neighbors, or maybe they did with us, or vice versa, did we not? Yeah. And my neighbor, who travels a lot, missed the snow, but they were out of state, and they came back, and so I went and shoveled his driveway because he was traveling with his family, and our driveway's there's a little kill up, and so to be traveling so long and with the family, I didn't want him to be fussing with that, trying to get inside the house, and you can't because you're slipping and sliding. And for most of the week, he didn't know who cleaned his driveway because that's not what it's about. And so eventually, I told him because one of his trees fell over my property. And so the days go by, and then last part of this week, we have a little toilet trouble at the house. Yeah. And so I text my neighbor, hey, by any chance you got an extra plunger? And he didn't even respond. 2 seconds later, the doorbell rings. He's there with the plunger. And he's there with the plunger, and he says, because he owns one of the hotels in town, he's like, my hotel has gone all with electronic plungers. I didn't know such things existed. And he said, and so we have a whole bunch of these plungers. Just, I have a whole bunch of them in the garage. So here you go. Praise the Lord. He was my miracle. And as he gave me the plunger, he said, God bless you. And I said, God bless you. A man who was of a completely different belief system. And I'd like to say that that happens all the time. But I've come to realize that maybe there's more that God needs to do in my life so that I can reflect him in contemplating him. Because maybe sometimes I give the witness that it should, and maybe sometimes I don't. How about you? Abraham agrees to make this deal with Abimelech. And verse 25 says, and Abraham reproved Abimelech. Why? Because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing. In other words, he didn't know who did this. I didn't know about it. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. What a blessing it is to be in good relationship with those around us. even if they're different from us, even if they believe something else from us. You shall love your who as your what? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now we get to towards the end of the story, verse 28. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. 7 ewe lambs, what did that mean, Mr. Abraham? It means, I dug this well, this is my well, here's these 7 ewe lambs that prove it was mean, this is mine, and we can move on with our business. What a blessing it is to work together with those around us. I mentioned during prayer meeting this past week of how some mischievous young men were up to no good this past Sunday morning, ringing our doorbell at 6:45 in the morning and then running off, and they were visiting houses that they thought were unoccupied, as they thought maybe others, as maybe they thought that we were not home because maybe we were without power and were living somewhere else temporarily. I went to this neighbor, I went to that neighbor, I went to the other neighbor, and I told them about it. And lo and behold, my neighbor said, don't worry, we got it on videotape. And they were able to be a blessing to us and looked out for me, looked out for us. What a blessing it is to work together for the common good in our own neighborhoods, you know? That reminds me. Could there be something happening in our neighborhoods today? Oh, that's right. I think we're praying in our neighborhood for our neighbors so that they may too come to these meetings. Let's get to the last part of this story. Verse 32. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. These are Abraham's last things. Abraham prays. Why did Abraham pray there? Because he's been praying. Abraham calls to God. And last but not least, Abraham does something that is life-changing. He stays. Why would that be so big? Because sometimes we go where we should not go. Sometimes when we shouldn't go, we go. And sometimes when we should go, we don't go. Did God tell Abraham to go anywhere? No. So Abraham stays. That's a huge lesson. Last but not least, Abraham calls God the what God? The everlasting God. You might be thinking, Pastor, this chapter in Genesis, it's just not too juicy. There's no Sarah over with Pharaoh, no Hagar, no Sodom and Gomorrah, no doom and destruction, no fireworks, no nothing. Why are you preaching about this chapter? Well, here's the reality. It is when we learn to trust God in the simple things that we learn to trust God in the larger matters of life. Didn't Jesus say, he who is faithful in that which is little shall be faithful in much? And you tell me, church family, what's the next story in the life of Abraham? Oh, that's famous Genesis chapter 22. That's the story where Abraham takes up his son, to sacrifice. But that chapter doesn't happen in Abraham's life unless Abraham gets this down first. Unless Abraham trusts God in trusting his promises that a child would come. That doesn't happen in Abraham's life unless he's able to say, Hagar, Ishmael, I love you a whole lot, but God told me you got to go. Bye. And neither do we see chapter 22 become a reality in Abraham's life if Abraham doesn't stay where God told him to stay. You see, this is what you call faith. The father of faith. Faith isn't about some amazing thing we do. Faith is about trusting God every day, even in the small matters. Like naming him Isaac. Like circumcising him on the eighth day. Small things are important to God. You see, today, I don't want God to lead me halfway. I don't need him to get me through part of the problem. I need God to lead me all the way. How about you? If today God is talking to you and saying, trust me, I'm going to get you. Trust me, I'm going to fulfill my word. Trust me, I'm going to bless you. Trust me, I'm going to perform a miracle that nobody can do. Trust me now more than you ever have. I'd like to invite you to stand. May God lead us to trust him all the more as the day dawns.
Please open your hymnals with me to hymn number 516, All the Way.
Savior leads me, what have I?
Remember to leave these in our end of the pew on our way out. Let us pray. Father, thank you because we are your children that you have not only brought to life, but you want us to live and live abundantly no matter what cloud is before us, raining at times. May you help us to trust you. May we know that you are doing all that you can to bless and protect and to guide. May we trust you. May we remember what you have said. May we act on what you have said. And may you do what only you can do. May those around us say, I know that God is with you. May our testimony, with words or without words, be evident in this community as we try to reach them for you. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.